grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. Rich in His mercy, He made us alive. He has set us free.
Good morning. Would you please stand for our call to worship? From Psalm this morning, chapter 147, verses 1 through 7, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre.
Of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature you make in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All-powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing. Every lightning bolt where it should go, or see heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gave source to its thine. Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All-powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Will you all pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day that you've given us to come together and spend time in your word. We thank you for all the reminders of just how powerful your love is for us, Lord, whether it's the changing of the seasons or the people that you've gathered here in your house, or even just a passing greeting to somebody, seeing you moving in and through that, Lord. So we just thank you for always loving us and always pursuing our hearts, Lord. As we come to you now, we just ask that you be with us. Help us take all the baggage in our life, Lord, all the sin, the strife, the things that hold us back from seeing you, Lord. Help us, give us the strength, rather, to just leave that at the foot of the cross now so that we can come to you with open hearts and open eyes and truly enjoy worshiping with you and worshiping you today, Lord. So we come to you now in that moment of silent prayer. So, Heavenly Father, as we leave all those things at the foot of the cross, Lord, just call out to us, draw our hearts towards you, draw our attention towards you today, Lord. Keep our focus on you as we worship you today. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray these things, Lord. Amen.
To go the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow.
Scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Thank you.
please pray with me. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Buenos dias. All right, did we all practice last week? Did we all say good morning and buenos dias to one another? Let's do it one more week because I forgot to think of a new phrase for you all to learn this week. But, you know, buenos dias means good morning in Spanish, just in case you didn't know. And good morning means buenos dias in English, if you didn't know that. But I want to encourage you to do that. I should start with this. I'm sorry, I've had way too much coffee already this morning. My name is Darden Kaler. I am one of the pastors here at Hope Church. It is good to see all of you here this morning. It's good to be in God's presence to worship him together. I am going to tell you a little bit about what is going on at Hope Church throughout this week and the coming weeks, because what we do as Christians is not just a Sunday morning thing, right? Christianity and following Christ is part of our lives. It's who we are. It's who he's created us to be. And so we do this throughout the week, every day, every night, 24/7, 365 days a year kind of thing. And so we've got activities that are part of the worship in the life of Hope Church, and so we're going to tell you a little bit about those. In fact, you can see all the little blue tags or all the little colorful tags. Those are all the things I want to tell you about this week. There's a lot of stuff on there. Let me see. I'm going to start with a long obedience in the same direction. We are still continuing our small groups, going through that book and following along with our sermon series titled Altoids, and that is through the Psalms of Ascent. The women's group meets here on Monday nights. The anybody who wants to come group meets on Tuesday nights at our place. So if you're interested in that, you can come talk to me. Women's group, you can talk to Pebby. And the men's group meets on Wednesday nights here as well. You can talk to Tom about that. Also, Discover Hope. If you are interested in finding out more about Hope Church or joining Hope Church, Discover Hope is the answer for you. It's a three-week class that we do after church, during lunch on Sundays. And we're going to be starting a new session on March 10th. So if you have questions about that, you can also see Tom, or you can ask me, and I probably will send you to Tom. But I would encourage you all to take that if you haven't done it yet. Also, Hope Church needs Easter eggs. It's that time of year, right? We do an Easter egg hunt. We do a sunrise service. We do a little brunchish brunch. Is it a brunch? Yeah, it's a brunchish. Brunchish breakfastish brunch. Yeah. Anyway, and then we do our main service. And afterwards, all the adults get to go and collect Easter eggs. No, I'm kidding. It's for the kids. Wouldn't that be fun? We should do an adult Easter egg hunt sometime. That'd be kind of fun. The Easter egg hunt is for after the service for the kids, and we need your help getting them filled up. So the Easter eggs are in the, what's the number on that classroom? Two, three, whatever it used to be and what it is now. 2-3, classroom 2-3. You can just pick up a bag. They're all in bags, right, Joe? All right, they're all in bags. So just pick them up, and if we run out of bags of eggs, we probably don't need any more. But I'll leave that to somebody else more qualified to say whether that's true or not. Let me see what else. We've got Save the Date on Good Friday. We are having a special service called a Tenebrae service. Tenebrae means shadow, right? It's a service of shadows. And so I think you will find it worshipful and unique and interesting, something different that you probably have not experienced before. I'd encourage you to come. It starts at 7:30 here at the church, and it shouldn't last any longer than an hour. And then you can also see on there's a bunch of stuff about Easter and all the activities that I just mentioned. And then the last thing is Blueprint. You can look in there as well. If you have questions about Blueprint, you can talk to who should I send them to? Jackie, but she's not here. Jackie? Or Christy? Christy. Let's go with Christy. Both. And with that, I will invite Tom up.
I don't know, man. Like, I just work here.
I look at you. I'm like, I've been here a year, and there's so many things I still don't know.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Tom. It's good to have you with us. I would like to just reiterate a couple things that Darden just did a phenomenal job of announcing. Discover Hope a week from today after church. It's our membership class. So if you're thinking about joining Hope, if you've been here a little while and you're still that crazy, we would love to have you come to our Discover Hope.
And
that's the same day as Spring Forward. That's just mean. All right. Well. We'll all be tired together. I thought they did away with that. Vote them all out. Okay. Then the last year we did a Passover Seder dinner in the family room during Holy Week. It was on Thursday night. This year we're going to do it. This is a style of service that dates back to the Middle Ages, and it involves. We'll start with communion, and then we will go through the scriptures that describe the last day of Christ's life on earth. And we'll go all the way through the crucifixion, and then there's the service intentionally pauses for you to be able to anticipate Sunday morning. So there's candles at the service, and at each scripture reading, or each set of scripture readings, there will be a candle that's snuffed out. And so the service will literally end in darkness, and then that is supposed to set us up for Sunday morning, which ends or begins very differently than the way Friday ended. So it's pretty cool. I've never done this before, so we're going to do it together. I'd never done a Seder before, so we did that together. We're going to do this year, and then maybe next year we'll do something different. Who knows? But that's on Good Friday. Easter is March 31st, so what would that be, the 29th? That's good math. There's three kinds of pastors, those that are good at math and those that are not. I think that's it for now. All right. If I can have all of the important people come up to the front before you go to Hope for Kids. Come on up. Come on up. Good morning. Yes. And we've got a gallery. We've got the front row. It's all good. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Good? Okay. Can I read you a psalm? All right. This is from Psalm 131. It says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. What's your soul? The part of you that makes you you. I like that. That's a great answer. It's not your head bone. Your soul is kind of all of you. And I like that answer, the part of you that makes you you. Yes, God gives us our bones, our skin, our little muscles. Okay. But this says right here, Psalm 131, verse 2, I have calmed and quieted my soul. What does that mean? That the person who wrote this says that their soul is calm and quiet. Yes, ma'am.
It means like kind and nice.
Kind and nice, okay. Yeah. So is this person upset?
No.
Are they sad?
No.
Maybe, but probably not. And are they running around in circles?
No.
Are they screaming?
No,
they've calmed and quieted their soul, and it says that, then he says, like a weaned child with its mother. So think of a toddler, like just slightly bigger than a baby. Yeah, okay. So a toddler with their mother, what's that like? What's the image that's coming out? What do you got? Sure.
Can I give you the definition of a toddler?
Definition of a toddler? Let's hear it.
A baby?
A baby that learns to toddle. Yes. So a toddler is bipedal, but in an unstable way. All right. So think of a child in its mother's arms. What does that picture in your mind? What does that speak to you? Yes.
Showing kindness,
love, yes.
Being a family.
Being a family. patience. And so God wants us to be like that with him. He wants us to have peace and patience in his presence. He wants us to have that kind of calm and, what's the word, quieted soul in his arms. Sound good? All right. Well, let me pray that peace over you and over all of us, and then you can go to Hope for Kids. ¿Cómo te parece? ¿Está bien? ¿Oramos? Vamos. Father God, thank you for your love, and thank you that because of you, we can be calm and have peace in our souls, in that part of us that makes us who we are. We thank you that you love us as we are, and that you call us to grow as your children more and more into who you have created us to become. And Lord, I pray your blessing over these children as they study more of your word and Hope for Kids today. Fill them with your Holy Spirit and lead them into a deeper understanding of how much you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great time in Hope for Kids. Is there a prize for whoever gets there first? Is that how that works? All right. Okay, if you would join me in prayer as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. God, our loving Father, we come before you as we open your word. We pray that you would open our hearts, that you would speak to us this morning, grow us more and more into the image of your Son. As we come before you through your word, we pray that you would be at work through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit to not just teach us, but to enable us to live out your word in our everyday lives. And Lord, we lay at the foot of your cross the burdens of our hearts, that we might be more free to encounter you here through your word today. We give you our sins and failures and disappointments, and we just lay them down before you. And we thank you for the forgiveness, mercy, and grace that are ours in Jesus Christ, that free us to be able to come back into your presence and enjoy being your children. And Lord, we lift up to you those who we know and love who are sick or facing uncertain diagnoses, and we pray your healing mercies over them. We thank you for Rebecca's delivery and for the arrival of a healthy baby and mama. We just pray your blessing over her and Will and their new family as they continue to grow. We just pray that you would be with those who mourn. We pray your comfort over their hearts. We lift to you our country at every level of government, our leaders elected and appointed, and we pray your wisdom and discernment in the decisions that are before them. We lift to you our men and women in uniform and our first responders. We pray especially for those who are in harm's way. We ask that you would bring them home safely. And Lord, we lift up your church here at Hope and around the world, and we pray that you would continue to send forth your word through your people and that it would not return to you empty. We lift those churches to you that we are connected to through our denomination and our missions giving, and we pray especially for Paul and Elizabeth Branch in Guatemala and John and Diane Davis in Laredo, Texas. We lift up Pablo at our sister church, and we just pray your blessing over his ministry there in Camajuani, Cuba. We lift up Patchy and Marilyn Quesada in Havana, Cuba, and we lift up Robbie and Joyce Hamd and their ongoing work in Lebanon, and Monica and Benjamin Bailey and their ongoing work in the Middle East. And we just pray your blessing over all those works that you are doing, and help us to pray for them and serve them so they can continue to extend your love into this world. We come to you now and just pray that you would be with us as we open your word. Fill us, guide us, teach us, lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So if you're not already aware, we are in the midst of a series of messages through a study of 15 psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. The study that we're using to kind of guide our way through it is called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And when we were putting the series together, we realized that if you take the initials of A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, it's exactly the same letters that are in the Altoids mints. So curiously strong mints, God's trying to develop or cultivate in us a curiously strong faith. So that's the idea. We're going to journey through these psalms together and hopefully grow closer to God's heart in the process. The Songs of Ascent were the hymnal inside the hymnal, the 15 songs that God's people would have sang together as they approached the temple for worship in ancient Israel. And so these songs were collected over a period of time and gathered into the Psalms from 120 through 134, I believe. And that's where we find them now. And they would have been part of this collection that God's people would have known by heart from childhood all the way through life. And today's psalm is beautifully short, just three little verses. But it's really quite profound. It sort of gets at the heart of our relationship with God, and I want us to look at that. But just as a kind of a review, the psalms prior to this one would have been sung in succession to one another as people were walking toward the temple, and the psalms prior to this deal with the pains of life, the joys of life, the difficulties of reality in this world, and the hope of the Messiah in the world to come. Well, in this world and in the world to come. And so these psalms collectively kind of cover all of the aspects of being a child of God. And so today, we're going to look especially at this idea of humility that is taken up in Psalm 131. I'm going to read it in the ESV, and then in the Message, and then in Spanish. And then I have a passage I also want to read, and then we'll talk about each verse in this psalm. So Psalm 131, a song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Then in the idea that when you're reading poetry, especially from a different language, it might help access that meaning by reading it in a different translation. We're going to read Eugene Peterson's rendering of Psalm 131 from a Bible called The Message. God, I'm not trying to rule the roost. I don't want to be king of the mountain. I haven't meddled where I have no business or fantasized grandiose plans. I've kept my feet on the ground. I've cultivated a quiet heart. Like a baby content in its mother's arms, my soul is a baby content. Wait, Israel, for God. Wait with hope. Hope now, hope always. And in Spanish, Cántico de Ascenso Gradual de David. Señor, mi corazón no es soberbio, ni mis ojos altivos. No ando tras las grandezas, ni en cosas demasiado difíciles para mí, sino que he calmado y acallado mi alma, como niño destetado en el regazo de su madre, como niño destetado reposa en mí mi alma. Espera, oh Israel, en el Señor, desde ahora y para siempre. Amén. Then I'm going to read a passage from the book of Philippians that I'm going to refer to later in the message. And I've just placed the Spanish alongside the English up here. I'm just going to read it in English, and we'll refer back to it later. from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So, I grew up in Houston, Texas. More importantly, I learned to drive in Houston, Texas. And in the city of Houston, the way you merge into traffic, you do that with your accelerator. If you hit your brake, people get hurt, right? You have to learn everyone is going fast and trying to go faster, and if you want to get into traffic, use the one on the right, and you got to hit it pretty hard. And so my first day of seminary, Darden and I were in Greek class, and it's like this professor is trying to cram all this stuff into your brain because he knows you're going to need it later. And you don't really know what he's doing at first, and he's just like, there's just this information overload. After class, we're standing around, and there's like four of us outside the classroom trying to push our brains back into our heads, just like, what just happened? What have we done? Why are we here? It's a little existential crisis. And I just said the obvious question, anybody want to go to lunch? And I got three yeses. I'm like, I'll drive. We get in my car, and we're on the Loop 270 in St. Louis, and they've got a sign up, left lane closed, 1 mile. The middle lane and the right lane are stacked up. They're going about 20 miles an hour. The left lane is completely empty. This is how you know you're not in Houston, Texas, because no Houstonian would allow an empty lane to remain empty. So I snake over into the left lane. I'm doing about 70. I get to where the barrels force me back into the center lane. I look, I see a gap, I eat it, not back, I eat the gap, I fill the gap. I look up, my exit's right there, I find another gap, I didn't hit the brake. I just kind of zoomed over and off the exit ramp, pull into the parking lot, throw the car in park, and I look around and there's three guys who were like. And one of them from the back seat goes, "You call yourself a Christian?" It's like, well, I didn't say I was a very good one. I called my mom later that day, and I'm like, "Mom, seminary is going great. I inspired three guys into much deeper prayer today. I am really good at this. This is going to be great." And so if you grow up driving in Houston, others might find your driving a little aggressive, apparently. I didn't know this. I thought it was normal. And so still, to this day, if I'm on a crowded freeway, there's three lanes, what am I going to do? I'm going to try to find the lane that's moving the fastest. And inevitably, I will see cars passing me on one side or the other, and I'll be like, that's the faster lane, and I'll creep over or aggressively cut someone off is probably more like it. And then that lane slows down because 10 other people had the same thought that I did. And the lane I was in is now passing me. And I'm actually going backwards in the equation, right? So all of this to say, I think Psalm 131 begins with the admonition, just stay in your lane. Don't drive like a Houstonian. Just stay in your lane. Be content there. You're going in the correct direction. Just stay in your lane, and you'll get there. Just trust. Slow down. Yeah, I know. I'm not really trying to change your driving. This is spiritual. It's an analogy, right? Yeah, we can still drive like idiots. That's what we're going to do. But our souls need to hear this call to just stay in our lane. And I love the way the psalmist picks up this theme, right, in verse 1. My heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I didn't occupy myself with things too great or marvelous for me. God, I just want to be content in who you created me to be. And this is the beginning of that posture of humility that facilitates a healthy relationship with God. And it's a shift of focus. We're to shift the focus of our hearts and our eyes off of ourselves, and we're to learn to prioritize God's heart over our own. There's a lot of scripture that talks about the call to be humble. Let me be really clear. I am not an expert on humility. I am a Texan. You're married to one. You know what I mean. And yet, in my Bible, God seems to weave this theme in and out of every book in here. Like, we are to be humble, not to think too highly of ourselves, and not to think too lowly of ourselves, but to be humble, to have the proper perspective, to say, God, your will be done, not mine. This is sort of the beginning of our healthy relationship with God and learning to prioritize what's in his heart rather than what's in my own, and seeking to build his kingdom, not ours. And I was listening to a filmmaker interviewed one time, and he had taken on an enormous task, and he was asked, like, why did you do this? And he's like, well, and the film was of the crucifixion of Christ. And the filmmaker said, well, you know, I finally realized I'm not going to take over the world, and so I needed to figure out what I wanted to do, and I felt like this was the project that God wanted me to do. And that little conversation was very revealing, right? Like, I thought, wow, that was honest. He actually just said, I gave up trying to take over the world. And I just decided this is what God wanted me to do, so I was going to do that. And it seemed very simple and very true. And that's really what is in front of us here. Like, we're to keep our feet on the ground, our eyes on the ball, just stay in our lane, keep moving forward, and don't overthink it, don't overreach. Okay. To shift the focus in our lives, to keep it simple. To keep this simple. God loves you. You're a mess. He's dealt with all that on the cross. You're forgiven. You're free. It doesn't mean that he wants you to just go out and do whatever you want. He wants you in humility to come before him and seek his will, not yours. And so the dangerous part of that whole equation is that God forgives us before he requires anything of us. So will we mess this up? Yes, we will. Is God's love greater than that? Yes, it is. And so we come to him in humility to stay in our lane, shift the focus off of what we want and onto what his heart wants, to build his kingdom, not our own, to keep our faith simple. This is the idea of developing within us the mind of Christ, as the author in Philippians tells us, that we are called to look not only to his own interests, but to also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about Jesus not trying to grasp equality with God, although he was equal with God. That's not what he was going for. He wasn't going for glory. He was going for sacrifice, for the demonstration of love. And so we, if we're going to keep our faith simple, are to practice gratitude over greed. Jesus went to the cross in order to establish forgiveness for you. He didn't try to take over the world. He just gave up his life so that you and I, we, could have eternal life. It was humble, it was simple, it was powerful, and it's yours. And therein lies our gratitude as Christians, that we have received something we did not deserve. We didn't earn it. We didn't look better than someone else. We just were given this gift. And here we are, the fellowship of the formerly broken in the presence of a holy, loving God. Gratitude. It is should be our first expression in life. Again, I have a wife. I have two daughters. I have to be honest with you. I'm not always grateful. That is not always my first step into a conversation or especially a conflict. But at the end of the day, this is our first step in our faith, in just keeping the simplicity of that sacrifice before us. We will be grateful. And as we do that and come back to that cross on a routine basis, our gratitude deepens. His death is enough for us to be eternally grateful. We're to practice gratitude over greed, and we're to seek fulfillment over satisfaction. You can just look around you in this world and see the difference between those who are seeking to satisfy some desire within them and those who are seeking to find fulfillment in relationship to God. It is simple. God loves you. He paid a price for your redemption, and he has a plan for you to be a part of. The plans we make are not always what God wants. We have this tendency to overreach, to overshoot, to overthink, and God is just saying, hey, stay in your lane. We'll get there. I've got this. I have a plan. I love you. I've redeemed you. You're mine. Take a deep breath, and let's keep going forward. So we stay in our lane, and verse 2 tells us to use our cruise control. I remember when cruise control first came out, and it was mind-boggling, right? It was also terrible. You could have like 10 miles an hour of variation when you hit a hill or something. But this idea that you can actually take your foot off the gas, press a button, and maintain your velocity. It's pretty cool. And God is saying that your faith is much the same way. Just take your foot off the gas, which is not easy for me to do. I told you already, I learned with my foot on the gas. That's how you drive. And God says, just hit the button. Relax a little bit. You still need to pay attention. We're still going somewhere. But you don't have to be freaking out. Keep calm, which specifically, if you look at verse 2, this is what is the opposite of calm in the human heart? I would say it's striving. That we're always striving for something. We're angling for something. We're trying to get somewhere or someone or something better, bigger, whatever. And God says, just take a deep breath. You've got everything you need. That is a beautiful sound, by the way. You are not distracting me. That is awesome. Do it again. But we are to stop striving and trust God's sovereignty. This idea, simple idea, that God is in control. Not always easy to assimilate in a chaotic world, but we are to keep calm and love on. This is the essence of our faith, that we are connected to an eternal source of love. The Bible says God is love. Our faith connects us to that. It should flow into us and out of us into the world. We are called to love. And this image of a child in its mother's arms, great timing, by the way. But it is a weaned child, so there's, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there, right? This verse 2, what a child in its mother's arms looks like, feels like. It's beautiful, Kristen. Thank you. It was a great illustration. Good job. That is this image that God gives us for his relationship with us, that we are safe, we are secure. Interesting addition of the word weaned, right? There's a difference between an infant that's still nursing and a child that has weaned. And the child that has weaned can largely feed itself. It can grab things and put them in their mouth and doesn't work so well with, the almost liquid baby food. But hey, they can do it, right? This idea that we are to be a people who are settled into God's love and we can open our Bibles and feed ourselves. We can take in the nourishment of his word by ourselves or together or both or all of the above is the way to do it. But here we are called to love God by feeding on his word and by resting in his grace. This is the image of verse 2. I want to just encourage you, wherever you're at in life, whatever is going on with you, just stop, take a break, open your Bible, and read. And if you have no idea what you're reading, if you're like confused by it, you don't understand the context, literally, there's a website called thebibleproject.com. It gives an overview of every book in the Bible. It's really creative, it's really insightful, and it's really good. And so if you decide, I'm going to read through I don't know, the book of Philippians, right? You can go to the Bible Project website, click on their New Testament overviews, click on the book of Philippians, and you get an introduction, explanation of the history behind the book, the structure of the letter as a piece of literature, the insights, the main themes, etc. And then you can read the book from an informed position, but you can feed yourself. You can access God's word, and there are lots of resources to help you sort of gain insight and understanding to what you're reading. But love is accessed through God's word. That's how we rest in his arms. That's our cruise control, if you will. So then I thought I would say it this way. The verse 3 is a call to stop steering through your rearview mirror. And you've probably never tried that. I don't recommend it. But isn't that what we do in life? We have things in our past that shape us or haunt us, that cause us to think about ourselves in those terms, in terms of what happened. And what God wants for you is to be forward-looking, to look at that horizon down the road, to know where you're going, and to have that forward-looking sense of faith that you're not defined by what's back there. You're actually defined by what's ahead. And so we are to turn on our nav. If you want to see a 30-year marriage just get shredded in seconds, get into the car with my wife and I. I'm driving. She's trying to navigate. And we have very different opinions as to what road we should take, which way we should go, etc. The only solution to that, and we have learned this, is to turn on the nav before the car starts moving. And then, for some reason, I'm not bothered by the female voice that comes from the cell phone navigational system. But I can be bothered. Never mind. It's not her. It's me. Just to be clear. Have you been there? Yeah. And there's this lovely little device that you can just hit start, and it takes over. But what if I know better than Google Maps? I better be right, because if I'm not, we're going to rehash it. Okay. So to be forward-looking, we turn on our spiritual nav. His name is Yahweh, not Tom or Jason or any other name that's here. We're listening. We need to hear God's voice. We need to follow his direction. We are called to be those who listen, who look forward, who put our hope in Yahweh. That's the name God gave to Moses, and it's almost undefinable, but it's the God who always has been, who is now, and who always will be. Why do I think that I know better than the one who always has been, is now, and forever shall be? Because I'm prideful, and I need to be humble. I need to turn on my spiritual nav, enter my destination, and hit start. Your destination, he calls it in this verse, Israel. That word comes from Genesis chapter 32. Read it for yourself. Watch the Bible Project video on Genesis. There's two of them. And then read chapter 32 for yourself, and you will see that the word has two meanings. It means one who wrestles with God, and it means one who rules with God. These are two very different meanings, right? And yet they're both embedded in the word Israel. And you can see it in the text in Genesis chapter 32. We are a people who wrestle with God. At the end of the day, because of the Messiah, because of the sacrifice of Christ, we are brought into a position where we are heirs to a promise, princes and princesses of the kingdom of God, and we rule with him in eternity. That's what the word means. It is a forward-looking word that is still attached to the present where we wrestle, but our future truth, who we really are, is up ahead on the horizon in the presence of God as his royal family, and we are part of that. And we are to know that God is with us, that our God never blinks, he never sleeps, he never makes mistakes. He's right where you are, and he's with you for all of eternity. This is your God who calls you to be his child, to just stop trying to get ahead, just stay in your lane, turn on your cruise control, follow your nav. He's going somewhere because he loves you, and he's bringing you into his eternal family where you can be at peace with God and yourself and others forever. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we marvel at your word that three short verses contain so much of the reality of our relationship with you, that you have called us to be your children, to rest in your presence, to know that your love is ultimately what defines us. Lord, as we approach your table today, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to see and understand more of your eternal love for us. We ask that you would take these elements and set them aside from their common use and dedicate them to the spiritual nourishment of our souls, that we might be reminded at this table of that sacrifice that we so desperately need to come back to each and every day, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to lay down his life, even on a cross, that we could be redeemed and restored into right relationship with you. We thank you for this peace, this grace, this love that you have shown to us. And we pray your blessing over this table today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and lead us into a deeper understanding of who you are and what your love means in our everyday lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I want to read to you the words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth to help them in their approach to the Lord's table. May these words be helpful to you as you approach the Lord's table today. And after I've read these words, I'll explain briefly what the process is and what you can do after we begin. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." And of course, the whole point of this table is that all of God's judgment and wrath against the sin of his children was taken by their Savior on the cross. You come to this table in freedom, in grace, in peace, and you come to this table as a child who belongs to their Father forever. So when you are ready, you may come forward, and it's okay to drop stuff. Come forward. You can come forward with your family, with a friend, by yourself, however you wish to come forward and take of one of the, all of our wafers are gluten-free if that is something that concerns you, and then you have a choice between either wine or grape juice on the table. But when you're ready, come forward and partake of the Lord's table today. This is not Hope Church's table. This is the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is open to all of those for whom he has died for the forgiveness of their sins. When you are ready, come forward. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Sing one last song with us today. Start the service the way we ended. We're going to end the service the way we started the service with the grace that is greater than all our sin.
Buried our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold. Threaten the soul with untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on our relief. Rich in His mercy, He made us alive. Christ, He has set us free. Wash it away. Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Blood of the sun, my death has paid. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on our relief. Rich in His mercy, He made us alive. Christ has set us free.
Let's do that again.
Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all we need. Rich in His mercy, He made us alive. Christ has set us free.
God. All right. You get one more blessing before you go. These words are ancient and they are intended to stay alive within you as you move through the week ahead. God wants these words to live within you, to give shape to who you are, to how you relate to Him, to yourself, to others. You are a child of blessing. Will you go forth in that truth today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May you go in His peace.